Good morning, church, and happy Sabbath. Today I will be reading from 2 Peter 1, verse 3 through 8. 2 Peter 1, verse 3 through 8. And it says, as his divine power, through the knowledge of him who called us by the glory and virtue, by which has been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of divine nature, having escaped through corruption that is the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance to godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness to love. For it is these things are yours and abound. You will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Happy Sabbath, family members. Yes. We want to thank the choir for the lovely song, for the beauty of the earth. Even though the beauty of this earth has been tarnished, there's still some beauty there that we can appreciate. The divine beauty, the gift of Jesus Christ that came down to us, the love, the skies, there are still some beauty that we are indeed grateful for. So we have to be thankful. Today, my topic will be the greatest invitation. The greatest invitation. And let's pray. Dear loving Father, we love you. You first loved us. And you have called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. The light is there for us to see clearly what direction we should take, what pathway we should walk. So please continue to enlighten us. Please continue to fill us with your spirit. Please continue to bless us and help us to be faithful to the end. In Jesus' name we pray. Let me see the hands of those who at some time in their life has gotten an invitation. We all, right? We all have gotten some invitation. Whatever the event may be, and I'm sure we felt extremely good about our invitation. When I was a teenager, I read a little story that I would, up to this day, I'll never forget. And this story is a little bit gross, but I'm gonna tell you what the story is about. It took place maybe 1,000 or more years ago. The story I read about, it happened in, I think it was in Belgium during those colonial years. There was a prince, and this prince was, I think he was a ruler of somewhere in Belgium, but he hated beggars. He didn't like beggars at all. So he made a plan, and his plan was to have a nice banquet, right? And he invited all the beggars. He had people to work with him. He invited all the beggars to this banquet. Come and enjoy yourself. Have a happy time, a wonderful time. And as you know, beggars were like homeless. Homeless in a sense. So they embraced the invitation and they went to this banquet. And while they were there having a grand time, under the prince's authority, he had the place surrounded so that they would be confined inside. And then the place was inflamed. And all the beggars perished. That's the gross part of it. I mean, I'll never forget the story. And it had such an impact on me that I said, wow, look at this. Man's inhumanity to man. More than 1,000 years ago that happened, and you can still see the inhumanity of man to man these days. As a matter of fact, these days it's even more. As that was some situation. No accountability during those days. Because he's a prince, he doesn't have to account to anyone. I'm happy that these days are different. We can't just go around and destroy people's life today as it was back then, some thousand years ago. Today, I want to talk about the greatest invitation. And let's turn our Bible to Matthew 11, and we'll read verse 28 and 29. Matthew 11, 28, 29. And it says here, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. That came from the mouth of Jesus. Jesus himself said it. Come unto me. He's inviting you to come to him. He said he's meek and lonely. He's not pompous and proud. He's not going to turn you away. The invitation is to all human beings, because all of us are laden with what? Sin. All of us have sin. We are laden, so we need Jesus Christ. In 470 BC, there was a Greek philosopher by the name of Socrates. His theme, or what he promoted most, was virtue, uprightness, goodness, excellence. 470 BC, the Messiah was still being looked for. Mankind was hoping for the Messiah to come. It wasn't Socrates. Even though he was promoting a good cause, virtue, moral excellency, It wasn't Socrates. Before Socrates, we had Confucius, 551 BC. Confucius was a Chinese philosopher, and he too promoted the family loyalty. That was his basis of goodness. Confucius wasn't the Messiah either, even though he promoted a good cause. Buddha also came in 567 BC, and Buddha's theme was what? Promoting peace. He was very peaceful. And even though he was into meditation, well, he was from Nepal, those eastern countries. They love peace. You also have Alexander the Great, 356 BC. And we all should know about Alexander the Great, one of the most powerful conqueror man on the face of this earth. He ruled Greece for quite a period of time. But he was power hungry, power driven. Likewise, Julius Caesar, 100 BC. A fearless Roman ruler. He too was power hungry. So with these five men that I just spoke of before Christ, they themselves, they were famous. They have like a segment of some segment of what Christ stands for, what Christ is, right? Because Christ himself, he came to earth later than these men. And when he came to earth later than these men, before he even came to earth, Isaiah spoke of him. Let's turn our Bibles to Isaiah 9, verse 6, and hear what let's hear what Isaiah said about Christ. It's one of our favorite texts too. We should know this. Isaiah 9, verse 6. He said, I can quote it, but let's read it. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." That is Jesus. Before he was even born, Isaiah said this about him. Further down in Isaiah 53, let's turn there to Isaiah 53. And we will read just a couple of verses here. But from verse 1 to 6, it talks about Jesus Christ, our Messiah. And I'll just read verse 3 and 4. He said, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, and we hid as we were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteem him not. Surely he had borne our grief and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for transgression, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." that is talking about Jesus. Jesus said, learn of me. Learn of me. That's the greatest and most important learning that anyone on the face of this earth can pursue. Learn of Jesus. Jesus is far different from Socrates. Socrates is a segment, as I say, of what Jesus entails. Virtue, morality to its highest. Learn of Jesus. There's no other learning as important as learning of Jesus. Today, in today's society, we have other so-called famous men that we spend time to research and to learn of. Isaac Newton. And various other men that we research. We learn about nuclear physics. The science, chemistry, trigonometry, and all of these things, we place more emphasis on learning about them than learning of Jesus. But Jesus is the one who made us all. He created all these things. If we learn of Jesus and make Jesus the center of our lives, focus on our learning on him, and in Matthew 6:33, he said what? Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all these things, what? Shall be added unto you. Right? You don't have to learn about certain things that is against the will of God in order to more or less exist. If you depend on God, put Jesus first, he will make a way for you. He will make a way for you. There's nothing too hard that he cannot do. Ever since creation is like everything that is happening is like in a reverse order. Reverse order. If mankind was emphasizing how important spiritual things are, if mankind was learning of Jesus and following his command, being obedient, this world would be far better than it is today. If we were putting Jesus first, we would be far ahead, further ahead than where we are today. Just look around this world today. So much corruption, power-hungry people, people doing things which are against God's will. God is placed on the back bench. Jesus is placed on the back bench. But he's still saying, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. And it's an invitation to every single one of us on this planet today. Every single one. Why learn of Jesus? Jesus, on the earth, He was very modest. He was a babe. He was a babe, was born just like you and I, you and me. In Luke 4, verse 16, it says that as it was his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He grew up, he went to church every day like a little kid, like my boys. Every Sabbath went to church. He was a carpenter. He used a hammer, a nail, and a saw, and he built houses. He could have sided with the Jewish hierarchy and seek power or being political as it was back then, but he didn't. He was a humble person. He was also a teacher. In John 3, verse 1, further down, remember Nicodemus came to him and by night. And what did Nicodemus say? I know that thou art a teacher sent from God. Right? Nicodemus was kind of unsure what Jesus was. But he knew Jesus was a rabbi, a teacher. How can you do all these powerful things? That was Nicodemus's concern. Jesus was doing all these powerful things. So he went to Jesus by night. He didn't want his colleagues to know. There was more to Jesus. There is more to Jesus than all these great men, so-called great men, can think. Because whatever they are capable of doing, capable of inventing or presenting to the people in general, Jesus can do more. Whatever they do is just a part of what Jesus is capable of doing. Jesus is all powerful. Jesus is the God-man. Jesus is the one who knows it all. Jesus is the one who created earth. Jesus is the one who formed things. Yet still he's humble and he's meek and he's lowly. Learn of Jesus. We ought to learn of Jesus. When we learn of Jesus, we know what the Father is like. Because Jesus said, "My Father and I, we are one." We know that God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When we learn of Jesus, we learn about the Holy Spirit. We learn about the Father. We learn about God. Infinite in power, infinite in wisdom. I put it to you today, there's no greater learning than learning of Jesus. When we obey him, when we follow him, when we establish this relationship with him, he'll put things in place for us. As the Bible said, that he'll feed us with the heritage of Jacob. He'll cause us to ride in high places. We'll be the head and not the tail. Put him first. Let him be first in our lives. Jesus said, he and the Father is one. There is another reason why we should learn of Jesus. In John 13, verse 15, Jesus washed his disciples' feet. And he said, he did it as an example that we should follow. Most of the things that Jesus does or Jesus did, he didn't have to do it, but he did it as an example so that what? We should follow. We learn of him and do all these things. And when we do all these things, what do you think happens? What do you think happens in our life? The foot washing, when we follow his example, sometimes we might not even be conscious of it. But by learning of him, follow an example, a transformation will take place in our lives. And we become more and more like him. That's what he wants from us. That's what he wants us to do. Learn of him. Be transformed. We will be effectively channel into a newness of life, a newness of life with him. Because this earth is plagued with sin. Sin multiplies itself day by day, year by year, and God wants us to be different. That's why when we keep our eyes on Jesus and we learn of him, then we will be on this path of transformation. He wants to transform us. Romans 12, verse 2, be he transformed by the renewing of what? Your mind. Learning of him. Cause our minds to be renewed. We see things in a different light. In the light that he wants us to see. We did talk about the various different philosophers and what they promoted. Peace. Buddha was a peacemaker, but Jesus is the greater peacemaker. He's the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. Without peace, I didn't say it, no one can see God. Peace is a vital ingredient of the Christian's walk. We have to be peaceful. Blessed are the peacemakers, for what? They shall be called what? the children of God. So learning of Jesus, we can be transformed. And as the scripture in which my son read, Gabriel read, 2 Peter 1, verse 3, says that the divine power has given us everything that pertains to what? Life and godliness. Everything that pertains to life and godliness, Christ has given us. God has given us. Through the knowledge of what? Him who have called us what? To glory and virtue. The same virtue that Socrates was trying to promote 470 years BC before Christ. Christ is the one that opposed that virtue. Christ is the one that opposed that virtue. Today, sad to say, we are almost morally bankrupt. But that virtue, that moral soundness that comes through Christ is still there. It doesn't change. That's why he still wants you to learn of him today. Learn of him. The world should learn of Christ and know about them. Your life is not complete without Christ. So many people doing so much awful things, committing suicide, doing all this because their lives are void of Christ. They just need Christ. They just need him. They need to learn of him. I'm coming on to the end. Another reason why we have to learn of Christ is the otherworldly benefits. We are in this world. We're just a part of this world. God wants us to be his ambassadors here. We have something better, something greater that we are looking forward to. Jesus was peaceful. He was lowly. He was just like an ordinary man. But he's a king. He has a kingdom. A kingdom that is coming one day, not like the kingdom of Egypt. Just lasted for a time. After Egypt, Babylon came, established their kingdom. Just lasted for a while. The same thing with Persia, the Grecian kingdom. Then the Roman. They all were transient. It just lasted for a while. But we are otherworldly. We're looking for a kingdom that will last forever and ever. And the king is who? Jesus. Jesus himself will be our king. A kingdom wherein dwelleth righteousness, holiness, purity. A kingdom where there will be peace. Peace, we can live together in peace. I love peace. I just love to hear the words. I just love peace. Jesus, when he was on earth, as I said, he was meek and lowly. He inspired us. He didn't go around and dictate or dominate or pontificate anyone. He was lowly and humble. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, including you and me, we are laden with sin. Come unto me, get out of the path of sin. I will steer you into the path of righteousness, because this is the way we ought to go. He still say, come today. He still say, come today. And he gives us all life. And he will give us life more abundantly. And I close with this. Would you come to Jesus? You want to come? Come to Jesus. If you're willing to come to Jesus, please stand with me while I just say a simple prayer. Lord, Heavenly Father, we submit to your call. We embrace your invitation. We come to you now to learn of you. Fill us with your knowledge. Fill us with your power. And may we walk with you all the ensuing days of our lives. We love you and we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. In Jesus' name. Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your truth. Thank you for your righteousness. Thank you that we can lay hold on your promises of salvation. Thank you for saving us. We believe that we are saved through your precious blood, and help us to continue to embrace this opportunity and to live for you as you shine forth from within us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah.